good evening to faithful listeners of Eagle FM. Welcome to Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I'm here to keep you company yet again on this Saturday evening. Now, of course, you know, every Saturday from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours, we bring you a topic right here on Life Lessons. So you can talk about life and just find meaning and to what it's all about and just try and make society a better place. I mean, knowledge is power. And when we do learn, when we learn certain things, you know, we incorporate them in our lives and it makes lives so much easier when we learn. But we must be available and we must make the time to learn. Now, of course, tonight we're talking about an interesting topic and I have a very beautiful guest in studio with me this evening. So we're talking about healthy parent-child relationship. Now that I'm actually reading it again, I'm just like, I hope my guest will also allow me to chip in there and also talk about my mother-child relationship. Anyway, I am joined in studio by Evita Smith. Evita, thank you so much for making time for us right here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. This conversation has been long overdue, you know.
Yes, it's been overdue.
Yeah, we spoke about it like when? When was that?
I think in March, and we are in August,
mid-August.
My goodness.
I'm a firm believer of things happen at the right time. All things work together for good at the right time. Now, if I haven't told you guys, Evita is a counseling student. She has knowledge on that. And of course, I know she will pick here and there from what she's learned in class. Now, Evita, first and foremost, let's get to know this young lady. Where did you grow up? Tell us about your upbringing, school, and all that.
Well, I like to say that I've been everywhere, so I have lived everywhere.
Yeah.
For the majority of growing up, I've lived in Belfast and then moved to the farm and then Zambia and then back to Namibia.
Zambia?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. With your family?
Yes. It's how we started our missions, journey.
Uh-huh. Yes. Interesting. I just knew this conversation would be interesting. Anyway. Okay. Continue.
Well, then after Zambia, we moved back to Namibia and we've been literally everywhere. At the moment, my parents are in the south.
Yeah.
And I'm this side. So yeah.
Yeah. How many siblings you have?
I have a younger brother, but he's not so young anymore. So.
And they don't like that, trust me.
No, not at all.
In fact, it's as if they want the opposite. Our last born is a boy, so he wants to be the second born and my sister was the second born, be the last born. And he's just like,
why?
Apparently not, because he's a man.
Oh,
but you know, most.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that I completely understand.
Yeah, ne? Yeah, so how is your relationship with your brother?
With my brother, it's really good now, mm-hmm. but it was very rocky in the beginning. Later on, I'll tell the story. But I grew up looking after him, so I had this motherly instinct over him. So going into teenage years with him and everything, because he's 3 years younger than me.
Yeah,
and going into teenage years with him, I would always like, no, you can't do this. No, you can't. And I wasn't a sibling
Yeah.
And it's not until I think end of last year or beginning of this year that I realized that I need to go apologize to him and ask for forgiveness when
you're a bit too harsh. You feel like you're a bit too harsh.
Yes. Oh, I was very harsh.
You were?
Yes.
Ah, but you know what? The fact that you acknowledge that you were harsh and the fact that you summed up the courage to actually go and apologize to him is a really huge step.
Yeah.
That many of us don't.
Yeah, no. And then after that, it's just like, it was a completely different type of relationship.
Uh-huh.
And so we are now siblings trying to figure out life and help each other where we can.
Yeah.
So we have an amazing relationship, actually.
That's beautiful, man. Anyway, let's get back to you in your upbringing and growing up school-wise. So since you guys have been all over Namibia, outside the borders of Namibia, school-wise, where did you go to school and how was school?
Mm-hmm. I have been to 7 different schools.
Ooh.
I've been to all different types of schools, like state schools, semi-private, private, really private, village schools, everything. And, you come to realize that it's almost the same. It's just everything. It's the same, but also different in a way.
Yeah.
For instance, you would get like the same character people with the same, like same attitudes and stuff at different types of schools, just in different fonts.
Regardless whether it's private, non-government, semi-private. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it really, it was a lot of character building, really. I wouldn't change it for anything.
Yeah.
It was very good and amazing. Yeah. I wouldn't do it to my own children. Sorry. But, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, hey? Oh, wow. You also schooled in Windhoek at some point?
No, I schooled in Okanya.
Ah, okay. Not far from Windhoek. Just next door. Yeah. Yeah. And also, did you at one point school also in the South?
Yes, I did. There was this small, I come from Slip. So there was this small primary school, Slip Primary School. So I'm from there. Well, I was there for like a few years.
Hold on. Now that you just said you come from Slip, I just remember we had a conversation. You're supposed to take me to the side.
It's still on.
How did I forget that?
No, we're still going.
Because, you know, I think I remember when you're telling me about it, you guys are close to Cape Town, or is it close to what?
No, we're not close to anything. We're close to Rehoboth.
Ah, no. Which place were we talking about?
Oh, we were talking about Ariamsvlei. Yes, that's close to Upington.
Ah, okay. You also grew up there?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
In November, my parents moved that side.
Yeah. I see. But you have been there yourself?
I have. I was there for 2 very, very long, hot months. Yeah.
How's the weather on that side?
Oh my word. It's either ice cold or it's like super hot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's no in between.
Yeah. I can only imagine anyway. Okay, cool. So growing up, were you like, the quiet one, or would you mingle with people, or you have to get close to certain people? How was that?
Growing up, I would say from grade 0 to grade 5, grade 6, I was so quiet. Mm. I didn't talk. Unless you spoke to me, I would answer you and that would be that.
Mm-hmm.
And grade 6 and 7 came and high school came and I started getting out of my shell and started finding out what I like and what I don't like.
Yeah.
And I feel like now I'm the person that would go to the person not talking and get them to talk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting, hey? Okay, let's get right into business. Okay. I think I would feel free to differentiate if you like relationship with mom, relationship with dad, and then combined relationship and everything. So we can establish ground. Now, of course, let me start off. How was your relationship with your mom and with your dad growing up and overall as a family?
Well, growing up, it was very different as what it is now. We actually did not really have a relationship. It was more of a worldly type of relationship in the sense of my father. He never gave us hugs or anything like that.
Yeah.
So he would.
Parents, it's very important to give
old
hugs.
Old people.
Mm.
And so, he would rather give me money and then give a lot of money, to make up for not giving affection and stuff.
Aww.
So in my head, that was like love in the early stages.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a strong point that you made, right? Okay, continue.
And so, and with my mom as well, when we were younger, we had a lot of quality time together, a lot.
Yeah.
And that I appreciate so much. Yeah. But it was also just to a certain extent. So there was never true love in the family. It was constantly just, it was constantly just giving,
money
and material things like that. So it was never affectionate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. Then eventually, how did that change?
Eventually, okay, now I need to give a little bit of a backstory.
Okay, cool.
So, at some point in our lives, my mom went through a very difficult time, and there was no one that could counsel her or she could not speak to.
Yeah.
And she made drastic decisions, and we moved to the farm, which it turned out to be the best thing ever, but at the time it was not.
Yeah.
And so, when we moved to the farm and everything just stumbled down, like everything was not okay. My father was, they did a lot of worldly things.
Yeah.
And at some point in 2016, I decided to give my life to Christ.
Yeah.
And I got baptized, and it was crazy because everything changed, but the view we had on what needed to happen and what God wanted
to be the way.
It was just, it was completely different. So after I got baptized, my brother also got baptized on the same day.
The same day you were baptized?
Yeah. So I was like, I was done. And then he was like, no, I also want to go. I also want to go. And everyone's like, no, but you're too young. And he's like, I am going.
And he was how old?
2016. Oh my word. I don't know.
How old were you?
13.
Okay. So 13, he was 10.
13, yeah.
So he was about 10.
Yeah. Around there.
But he understood.
He understood fully, but everyone else told him, no, he did not. Exactly. But so we went on, and 2017
but
came.
But he finally got baptized, right?
Yeah, he got baptized.
Thank God.
Yeah, just, I was.
We're not supposed to hinder anybody from wanting to be baptized.
Yeah.
Even if they are 8 years old and 7 years old.
Yes.
As long as you can perceive that the person understands what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So then, 2017, my parents, a drastic change just happened. Out of nowhere, we were able to do a DMT. With an organization, and then the Lord just, in 3 months, the Lord did everything. He restored our family.
Wow.
He made us, there's like sins we had to repent of, and it was just a crazy 3 months. And then the Lord spoke to us and said, no, you need to go to Zambia. And we're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
We want to go home. And he's like, no. And so we went to Zambia, and there it was like, okay, we repented and we thought, okay, now we're good. But we're never good.
Yeah.
So there's always constantly something that we need to fix. Mm-hmm. And in Zambia, there was so much. It's like we opened a can and the worms just came out.
Yeah.
And so we were, it was a very difficult 2 years for us as a family.
Yeah.
And I think the main thing that brought us closer is the first 6 months we lived in tents while it was raining season.
Yeah.
So it was like you hear the thunder and the storms and the water, and all you have is your family next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you you start to cling on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're praying and hoping, Lord, let this tent not go away.
Yeah. And it never did?
No, never.
Oh, wow.
It was just a blessing.
Yeah.
And so then we came back to we came back to Namibia, and one day randomly, I was so fed up with, my mom still didn't give me hugs, and my father as well. And I was so fed up because I love hugs.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys never give me hugs, and what is wrong? And then we spoke about it and we prayed about it, and God revealed what was the issue.
Yeah.
And now I need to tell them, it's enough hugs. It's enough. So that was one of the main things that
Oh wow, you know what, just that story alone, your story, I feel like it's a summary of what we're already going to discuss. If I'm making sense, you know. Wow. Okay. Now, of course, since I know you have a background of counseling, and by the end of this year, you'll be done. We can find officially now.
Finally.
Yeah, call you a counselor. So let's get right into that as well. And of course, we're going to use also your story, Yenvi, just to incorporate and deepen the story even the more. Just why is it important? And I'll also, of course, chip in with our discussions. Why is it very important for a child and to have a very good relationship with their parent? You know, for their emotional well-being and their mental well-being, why is this very important? You can also use your experience, of course, perhaps to contrast.
Yes.
Yeah. Pointing out at where you're coming from, how it was then and how it is now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, actually last year we learned about how powerful love in a family can be, and especially like the foundation of a child. So, if I can give an example of a, let's say, a parent that is active in the child's life and present, but also allows the child to grow on their own. I know no one is perfect. No parent is perfect, but we always strive to get there. So, that child will grow up feeling independent, being able to do a lot more than other children that did not grow up in a household full of love, full of affection, and a parent that's just there to listen, instead of like a child that would that comes out of a house that
they lack love, the attention, affection.
Yeah, and then gets yelled at every time, or because then they start growing up in fear and sees everything like
what's the word you're looking for?
I can't find it now. Yeah. But they'll grow up and they would question every decision they make, basically. So you would know the color is yellow, but they would question, but is it really yellow? Or is it like a dirty white or something?
Yeah.
That's why it's very important.
Yeah, ne?
Yeah.
You know, you speak about yelling. You know what? I've been a mom that would yell at the kids and yell, and is it yell. Okay. So then I would scold them, especially when I get at home and this is not done, and I would just say, why did you do this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you know? And sometimes you overlook the nice thing that the kids did. Sometimes they didn't do that other part, but they did this particular one. And because you're so trained, but you've gotten yourself so accustomed to that, you always finding fault. And truly, you have a strong point there. The child sees yellow, but now they start asking themselves, they start questioning themselves, because that's how they were made to feel from the very beginning. And the worst part about it, hey, is that the words that parents say to their children, those children say to other kids when they are playing. One time, I think there was a word that I said to the kids, and I was saying it often. And then I heard my son say it to the other one, and I felt so bad. And I couldn't scold him and say, why did you say that? Because this was... this is what I've been planting, and it's just now the fruits, you know, just now putting on to the next person. It was until really recently that, you know what, I really made some introspectives and said, I can't be doing that. You know, this has to change. And it's so funny how my son the other time said, Mommy, I came from work, and he said, Mommy, you look so peaceful. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because you're not yelling at us and not. No. they really pick up, and they, you know, and I think the first step, Evita, is in identifying your problem and acknowledging it. Because the moment you try to sugarcoat it and paint yourself as this perfect person, then you'll not grow, because you haven't acknowledged and accepted it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I was just, that was now exactly like lead by example.
Mm.
So children, they see and they steal from that. And sadly, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised how they go on and get married and have their own family. And that's exactly what's in that household. So it's a pattern that, you know, keeps on repeating itself.
Yeah, it's
and it's a wrong pattern.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really a wrong pattern. Anyway, you can continue. Oh, wow. Yeah, ne? And also another thing, before I let you say something. For me, with my relationship with my mom, it was so bad. Like, okay, well, I had an aunt who always said really bad things about me to my mom. Or sometimes things were truthful, but would be exaggerated. Sort of like my mistakes will always be projected to my mom. And then I think my mom grew some sort of annoyance maybe towards me because of that. And I've come to realize, hey, also, there was a time when my little girl was probably like 3 years, 4 years. And, you know, at that time, they're very active.
Mm.
And then we'll go to church and she'll be very busy and she wouldn't be stable, you know. And there was this particular auntie who always so faulty my child. And she will always say, your child this and child that. And when we do go home, then I'm scolding my child. And sometimes I'm like, I'm going to bitch when we go home. You know, why were you misbehaving? And I think this now makes me realize that, you know what, sometimes as parents, we need to filter things, you know. It's not everything that you hear about your child that you should now go out and act it out. Because you know what, sometimes it's not true. And sometimes it's true, but it's not as magnificent or as huge as it's being made out to be. Some certain things we need to let them slide. I think that also helps in terms of parenting and child relationship, opposed to just hearing everything hearing all the negativity that the other person is saying without even you knowing and without other person actually maybe realizing that this is what they are doing. Maybe it wasn't their intentions. You begin to hate your child and that affects the relationship negatively.
It does really. I don't have children of my own.
Yeah.
But I'm the person that there would be hundreds of people there and I would play with the children because I love children. I babysit everyone's child.
Yeah.
And I've realized that parents see themselves in their children. And so they would want their child not to do certain things and like try and be perfect. But unfortunately, it can't be like that. We're supposed to allow the children to
make mistakes and
grow, but also in that we need to give them independency and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. For instance, like saying, okay, if you sit quiet at church or if you behave at church today, we can go get the ice cream afterwards.
Yeah. Or a stocky
or something what they like.
Yeah.
And if they do not, then you say, but you did not sit still or you were too busy, so we can't get it. Maybe next Sunday. And then just trying to teach them that responsibility of my actions have consequences and I need to carry that consequences going further.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's just one thing I've picked up that works every time.
Mm.
But also I've realized that I don't know why it's always just at church that the children must sit quiet. And it might be different. I might be saying something not completely different, but I feel it's the house of the Lord. Children are supposed to, Jesus literally said, let the children come to me. And we should be like children. So we should not come sit and just try and be perfect.
Yeah.
We should openly do what we feel comfortable with and
you know what
projects to God.
That is not wrong. That mindset that you have in that regard is absolutely not wrong. Why? Children can only sit still for up to a certain limited. Yeah, you know. Afterwards, they want to do what children are supposed to be doing. And that is jumping, running, and singing and whatever and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they have all the energy within them. And I think, of course, sometimes you get services going to be for 4 hours and then you're expecting a child to be still, or for 2 hours and you're expecting a child to be still for those 2 hours. There's no way. So let the kids, I think, let them attend maybe Sunday school and the teacher attends to them. And then you let them jump and sing, you know, those, kiddie songs, but with, you know, activeness involved, so that then they are able to do it and to just kind of like stay woke and stay awake or something like that, opposed to just letting them or wanting them to be still for such a long time. And I think that's some really good points out right there. But we have a scheduled commercial break. Let's take that break and then we'll be back to continue.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers, and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences, or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Stock up for August with real value at WB. Get a 2-liter Pepsi now for a sweet $14.99. 750 ml WB cooking oil for only $26.99. 1 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for just $36.99. And 50 high baby active diapers at only $124.99. See all our real value deals at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook,
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
And we are back. You are tuned into Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. Of course, we are talking about the parent-child relationship, and which requires work. And we're trying to just mention those few pointers that we can in terms of parenting and good effective parenting. And I'm joined in studio by Evita Smith. If you're only tuned now, well, welcome. Now, Evita, let's talk about communication. You know, I think that's also one aspect that we sometimes overlook. Communication between a child and a parent, just what would you say on it?
There's a lot actually to say, but I'll keep it short.
No, don't worry, you can elaborate.
Thank you. Okay. So I will use a lot of my personal stories just to hopefully get someone to connect with that as So growing up, especially because we've been to so many different countries and places, I have learned how to communicate, but not just communicate, but communicate in a correct way. Like, I can talk and talk and talk and I won't make sense. But to understand how my parents understand communication and how I understand it. And, over the years they have become like, I go to them if I want to find out something or if I am struggling with something. So, with communication, depending on the age of the child, the parent needs to get low to that, because you can't expect the child to get up to the parent's communication levels.
Yeah.
So, for instance, you can't take a 2-year-old and tell them 3-4 sentences at once. You need to say, no, Baba, this, this, and this. And then hopefully they understand. And if they don't, you do it 2, 3, 4 times over again. And then
sort of like repetition gets things sticked up into their head.
Yeah, with toddlers and so on. And then finding a rhythm of getting to know your child on a deeper level of what they truly like and how they communicate. Because children do not communicate with their words. You will see them in their body, like, that they, if they are okay or not okay. Yeah, children do not, like, most of them do not lie. Mm. So you will see that they, either with the way they're playing with their toys or, acting with other people around them and so on. So to stay attentive and, look at your child at certain times in the day and say, okay, no, during sleeping time, this child is grumpy or he just cries or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's a very big aspect in keeping communication going and flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I went through my teenage years.
Yeah.
Oh, especially because I'm the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
So, my parents do not know how to handle certain situations.
Yeah.
With my brother, they did perfect. But with me, they were still trying to
figure
out.
Because you are a try and
error. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so going in teenage years, I was just like, no, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. And there was no communication. Yeah. And funny enough, we had the same goal. But because there was no communication, we understood each other completely wrong. And we started arguing instead of looking at the goal.
Yeah.
So just sitting down with your child, maybe take your, maybe one of the parents can take the child out for coffee and just to talk and let the child feel comfortable.
Yeah.
To share, not to force them to share, but to share openly. It took me a while to get there.
Yeah.
And Now that I'm there, I cannot see myself not sharing certain things with my parents. And then one thing that also helped with our communication is that we pray together.
Yeah.
For instance, if there was like, I have a goal set and I'm uncertain or uneasy about it, I would go to my parents and I would talk to them and we would sit around the table and we would all discuss and we would pray and we would go our separate ways and go pray and try and get word from the Bible or just peace. And we would come back and we would communicate about it and we would talk and be like, okay, no. If I can give an example, I went in grade 10 or 11, I'm not sure, I wanted to go to a birthday party and my parents were like, no, you can't go to a birthday party.
Yeah.
And we sat down and we prayed about it and it was so crazy. There was no fighting. There was no door slamming or anything like that. Yeah, it was just when we prayed and I got the inner peace that I'm not supposed to go to this party.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that helped our family as well. And it will definitely help other families as well with having that relationship.
Communication.
It's so difficult, actually.
Yeah. Communication is really important. I like how you narrate that right there. You know what? I think the one thing that we have to get right as parents trying to bringing up our children is communication. Honestly, many times we threaten. And my mom was like that growing up. She would threaten me so that then I would become scared, you know, like to say, if you do this, I'll beat you, you know. But sometimes I'm not even scared. Like, you know, and seeing myself, then projecting it on my children, sort of like threatening them. If you do this, I will beat you nicely. And sometimes you won't even beat them, you know. So it's just to them, it's just like bubbling. So, but then when you really effectively communicate to them, and I've come to learn this now from experience as I'm raising my three kids. When you effectively communicate to them and say, no, don't wear those shoes. They don't fit with that. Or don't wear a yellow t-shirt under your blue clothes. Yellow and blue doesn't go together. Can you please put on a white? But when the moment you just say, go take off that yellow t-shirt. It doesn't look nice. You know, it communicates like, I don't know. They don't get it, you know?
Yeah,
You
need to give a reason for everything.
Exactly. You need to give a reason as to why you're saying what you're saying, and you need to do it in a loving manner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And also, I've come to realize, with communication, it's different for every child.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Like for my firstborn son, the moment your tone is harsh, you've flipped the coin.
Oh.
Now it's going to take another, 20 minutes to get him in the mood again.
Oh.
Because he's this type of person, he will do things even without you telling him to do them. And so he, ever since from a very young age, he doesn't want to be yelled at. He doesn't want to, he doesn't want you to use a harsh tone on him, you know? Just speak to him calmly. He will do it. He will do it, you know? He's those type, he's that type. We tell him, don't go to the neighbors, and he will not go. My second born is the opposite. But now he says he is, when he came back from the north, it was my grandfather's funeral, and he was quite close to my grandfather. He came back, and sometimes I'll say, you do this, and then he's like, no, mommy, don't say that. I've changed. I'm a different person now, you know? And you know, sometimes when they say that, say things like that, then you have to really, go with them. Instead of repeating the mistakes that they did in the past, then say, oh, you have become a good, okay, I'm sorry. You've changed. You're not going to do these bad things anymore. You know, affirmations also help them.
Yeah. Especially because they're still learning and growing.
Yeah.
And as a parent, it's your responsibility to guide them in that, not to control them, but like to give a wider space and then say, no, not this side, this side, this side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, sometimes the problem is as parents, we impose ourselves on our kids, you know, that which we think is right, that which we think. And of course, there are certain things that we know are right, but there are also certain things that are not fixed, you know, like, let me say, for instance, what now? You know, some things, those particular things that where there is, options, and the option that they take is not wrong either. Just because perhaps I want them to, let's say for instance, in the bedroom, I want them to face, the wall, ne? Their bed to be a particular way. But then they want their bed to be in the room in a different way, different angle. Then maybe sometimes just compromise and allow them because it's not wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, and they have choices too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes of course we think this is right for them, but if there is more than one option, then why not just communicate it effectively and allow them to have their way as long as it's not wrong.
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying?
I understand completely.
Yeah. Yeah. So really, when it comes to communication, that's the one aspect that we really have to, get it right. We have to really put in the effort, you know? Even if it requires parents speaking in their head, you know, telling themselves, being cautious to say, okay, I'm knocking off now. And maybe I didn't have such a good day, or maybe I had a good day. I'm going to go home and effectively communicate with the kids. Did you guys do your lunch boxes for tomorrow? You know, the other day I saw a post on Facebook of a parent. I was going to take it down, but I don't know what happened. And this parent was like, I've come to realize that ears on the children, those things are just for decoration.
My goodness.
Because they don't listen, you know. And you know, I think sometimes the problem is we think our kids are the worst, you know. But you'll be surprised that kids are really just the same everywhere in every household.
Just in different fonts.
Yeah. You know that scripture that says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, I'm telling you.
Oh my word.
We really have to I think incorporated in our brains that children are full of foolish things, you know, foolish ways. I mean, how do you just describe, or how do you explain somebody taking their cookie pens and they have their pens right there to color, but they will take them and write on the wall? Just how do you explain that, huh?
I have no idea. If I get the answer, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
no. I'll call you.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, Evita, for you, as we're talking about parenting, I think with your experience, of course, with your parents, and then with your experience in terms of counseling, how do you think you probably approach, you know, parenting at one point in life when you're going to be a parent?
Honestly, I've gotten so many compliments from other mothers and other people being like, you're going to be a good mother and you're going to be the best.
Yeah.
But I'm so scared. Like, I am actually so scared. I'm just scared for everything that comes with, like, having a child.
I think when the time is right, you'll be just fine.
When the time is right, it will happen if God wants it to happen.
Exactly. Pause for me right there. We have a scheduled commercial break coming up just now.
Who are we, you ask? The National Road Safety Council is a statutory body established in 1996 with a legal mandate to promote and manage road safety across Namibia. We believe every accident is preventable and every life is precious. Our mission is to make our roads, vehicles and users safer based on effective road safety management. So, join our unwavering vision and commitment to zero deaths and serious injuries. Visit www.nisc.org.na to learn more. Do the right thing and save lives.
The best connections and moments are worth remembering, don't you think? Grab one of our great-tasting non-alcoholic drinks, Heineken, Savannah, Vintuk Original, or Vintuk Lemon, anytime, anywhere. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And we are back. You are tuned into Life Lessons. We just went away shortly. We're continuing with our conversation on parent-child relationship. Now, Evita, I've come to realize that truly, a parent-child relationship is just like any other relationship it requires work. And we really have to put in the effort, you know? With everything, I believe, that you want fruits and good results from, you have to put in the work.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah.
If, for instance, you can't plant seeds and not water them and not take the weeds out, and then 18 years later you want to pick the fruits of golden fruits.
Yeah.
It does not work like that.
It doesn't. It doesn't really. And sometimes you mentioned about plugging out the weed. Sometimes we have to plug out the weeds from our kids, you know.
It's gonna be difficult.
You know, sometimes we really have to plug out the weeds. You know, there's a scripture that says, don't spare the rod. And many times I think we spare the rod. It's either we spare the rod or we are excessively using the rod, which is so wrong. And there was also a time in my life where I was excessively using the rod. You know, I'll beat my kids for this and this and that. And then I realized, no, man, it's not everything that requires a beating. You know, there are some things that kids can really do that is really foolish and terrible. But sometimes it requires just you speaking to them. And, of course, scolding them to say, this which you did is very wrong. And you point out the consequences of that, you know. And then you move on without having to take and spank them all the time. Of course, there are times, and then on the other aspect, there are those ones who completely spare the rod.
Yes. I believe there's many ways we can discipline children. Some not so good and some that are way better. Because children have this, they are very emotional and their emotions are very high. It doesn't take a lot for them to understand. Because at a young age, children start understanding depending on if you communicate with your child or the relationship you have with your child. for instance, I volunteered at a school for 2 years, and so some children just tell them, listen, what you did is wrong, and they start crying. And you see that they are genuinely sorry for what they did.
They're remorseful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you get other children that are for the exact same thing. You try and talk to them, it's fine. And you try a different method, no, it doesn't work. And then you try and tell them, okay, no. Then we're going to call your parents. So then they start getting remorseful. So I think it all just depends on the child itself, of what you do. But I got the rod. Definitely.
From who was it mostly delivered?
Oh,
by who?
No, they had this rule that if one of, like, if my brother or myself, if one of us did something wrong, both of us get a hiding from both parents.
Ooh.
So you would be in your room and you'd be like, Sean, what did you do?
You serious? Yes. If one, both of you get a hiding?
Because they didn't want, like, I don't know what they wanted to do, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah.
So you kind of like had to look after each other.
Yes. My father wanted us to have that, like, look after, but in a certain way, it made me like very hard against, like, if my brother does something that I feel is not okay, then I'd be like, no, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. And that's where the motherly instinct kicked in. And
okay, I see.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting, hey? Ooh. Wow. But it does force you to really look out for the other one and ensure that stay on track. Please don't do anything that'll get me into trouble. Yeah. Okay.
Quite interesting.
Yeah.
One thing that also that I would say was amazing in our household that helped keep, like, memories and so on is like family traditions.
Oh.
So for instance, we celebrated Christmas for the longest time, and because in our previous lives it was more of a money type of thing. Christmas was just about money. The best gifts, how many can I get? And so after we gave our lives to Christ, we decided that we are starting a new tradition.
Yeah.
And the day of Christmas, the four of us, we would go out. Ooh. And we would either go hike or climb a mountain. Or just walk. And fast.
Yeah.
And then we would pray and fast, and we would spend the day together, and we'd like get a picnic basket and everything together, and we would break our fast where we are, and that became our like
tradition.
Yes, that became our tradition,
and it helps you guys to bond.
It helps us to bond, especially last year when we were so uncertain about what's gonna happen with all of us.
Yeah,
we really cherished last year's. So we were just sitting there and we started crying. And keep in mind, my father does not cry. He, now and then he does, but like with such things, no.
Yeah.
And so it was very memorable.
Wow.
So having like family traditions is a very good thing. Maybe like saying once a week or twice a week, let's say once in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Decide, no, we're going to spend the day together and we're just going to stay home. We're going to find something new to do, play with clay or just something that will keep the child entertained. Those are memories that the child will remember forever.
It's actually, family traditions. Now you're teaching me something. I do things randomly, but last Christmas, we spent Christmas together, me and my kids, and we actually went to Zubak. I bought a cake. And I remember that cake was, I bought it because of the different colors. It was really decorated like a Christmas cake. It didn't taste very nice though.
It's the colors that count.
actually, hey. Yeah. And so they were running around. I still remember quite well. They were running around. They're quite very happy. And I think I'll stick to that, you know. Christmas, let's go out. You know, traditions really, I think, you know, sometimes even when you grow up, and then, you know, Christmas is for family time and you do everything that you, however busy sometimes, if you really can get, the time, if you can really get the off or whatsoever, then I think you will be bound sort of to say, I need to spend time with my family. This is a tradition. I can't miss it. Mm-hmm. And then the person really, and the whole family comes together. And sometimes you find that, maybe one person, because now they are all grown up, kids have grown up and their parents also, you know, and then they realize that, okay, or perhaps maybe they say to themselves, I'm going through so much. Mm. And, but when I do go to my family, maybe things will be better, or I'll get a different perspective. And they really go to that family tradition and they come back different.
Yeah, not really.
You know? And it helps them in the long run as well. And, and not only that, it gets passed on to their own family. And it becomes really a tradition, like that's really going on and on and on. And I think it helps build a relationship between the two also, the parent and the child. And the fact that you spoke about you and your family would deliberately stay at home and find something to do. I think sometimes that's really what we need to do. Deliberately choose a day that, you know what, today is just staying at home. For some parents, they say it's movie time. We're not going to the cinema. We're going to choose a specific family movie, you know, that speaks about very good moral standard that we can also discuss later and laugh about later and whatnot.
And have like the make snacks together.
Yeah.
Like a new theme for the whole room and everything.
Maybe make some popcorns. You never know. You know, those are things that I then makes the kids open up to their parents. And also I think it helps the parents also. You know, it's not just the kids that need this type of thing. The parents also need it. You know?
Definitely.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's when you become a parent that the child like you really comes out. You can even play with mud.
I'll let you know when that happens. If it's true.
Yeah, no, really. Like for me, it was like that. I had no excuse because I have kids. Like I now have the excuse to jump if I want to, you know?
My children want to do it, so why not?
Oh, today we went to the park. Me and the kids went to the park and we were on the swing, you know? And I was swinging myself and I was like, wee! You know, like.
That sounds so nice.
And you know, at that point I wasn't doing it for the kids. I was doing it for myself. And I'll tell you, I was enjoying it, you know. And I think sometimes we take life so serious.
Oh, yes.
So in other words, if you're feeling down, just go to the park and go swing yourself, regardless of how old you are. Take the kids as an excuse.
Yeah,
you know?
They will sit and you will swing.
They will also be on other, you know, swings or whatsoever. So yeah, really, I think we have to do things deliberately in order to help the relationship to thrive and grow more stronger.
Yes. And with that also comes patience and gentleness.
Oh.
Especially from both sides. But I think because the children are still growing and figuring things out, the parent needs to get those fruits of the spirit.
Yeah.
And they need to work out how to be patient with their child.
Yeah. Patience and gentleness. You know, society is the way it is right now because of the mistakes and the steps that we've skipped or have not gotten all together in our childhood, you know?
Never heard of it that way.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the constitution of Namibia says that family is the fundamental unit of a society. So in other words, society is made up of small, you know, family putting together.
Yes.
But it is so true. Now, if a particular family focuses on their building together, putting in all the work that's required. Of course, it's not going to be easy. But then if counseling is needed, if, church members are needed to come and help, if, your neighbors or, teachers, anyone else, not necessarily from church, but in the secular world that is going to add value to this particular family are involved to come and just help that family to thrive. Just imagine what type of society we will have.
Yes. Funny enough, the reason I'm studying counseling is because I never knew that there were people that do like counseling and they are people that can help others. And so, when I started doing, I'm like, but there's so many opportunities for people to get better. You really do not have to go through life alone.
Yeah.
Not at all. And, that's how I started studying counseling, because growing up, I never felt like I had someone to talk about, like talk to about my feelings and everything going on in the house and so on. And, Now that I'm in this position, I try so hard to help wherever I can, do whatever I can do to just spread everything and so on. So, but it's just that unfortunately not everyone can get to
that level.
To that level of understanding or getting people to help.
Commercial break. We'll be back shortly after a musical break as well.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Over on all night. It's like a type of alchemy.
Okay, and we are back. We're talking about a parent-child relationship, okay? And of course, we're getting back into this conversation. It's an ongoing conversation, you know? So Evita, as much as, of course, as parents, we have a responsibility over our children. And I know we've been discussing parents. So I think afterwards lean towards the children more. Yeah. Yes. And I know as parents, we have a responsibility over our children, to protect them, from predators in this world. And you know, the world is filled with predators nowadays. Sometimes it could be a loved one, a family member, an uncle, an aunt. How do you think we can safely protect our little ones in that regard?
Well, if again I can give an example.
Yeah, sure.
So my parents were very strict to a point where my first sleepover I had when I was in grade 8.
Yeah.
And it was only because the house was like 2 houses from ours. And to a certain point, I completely agree. But after turning 18, 19 and going into universities and studying and everything, you are so exposed to the world. It's literally like that you're thrown into a tank full of sharks, hungry sharks.
Yeah.
And I feel like parents, as much as parents are supposed to protect their children, they must equip them with wisdom and knowledge and the ability to look after themselves and know what is right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So with protecting them, it would be like from a young age, watching with them what they watch, or if you know they're going to watch a TV series or a movie, do your research.
Mm-hmm.
Look through what's going on, the type of music they listen to, the type of people they surround themselves with, because children adapt so quickly to environments. Now, 2 days you leave your child with someone that sways or does something you don't do in your household.
Mm-hmm.
Your child comes back, and it's so difficult to get that out of your child.
Even if it was just 2 days.
It's very difficult. I've seen it in different types of households.
Mm-hmm.
So basically keeping an eye on them, especially when they're young, because as much as they are willing to learn, they will learn everything and anything.
Mm-hmm. In other words, we should protect their innocency, but other times we should also prepare them
for the outside world and for future, for the future.
Okay, I hear you, completely hear you. And what about in terms of educating children about privacy or their private parts? You know, there's a viral TikTok that is going on about a teacher singing to her kids, and you know, the way she's singing, she's really pressing on it, you know,
she's emphasizing
on it. Yeah.
Yes.
For some people, they applaud her for that. For other people, they feel like, no, I personally applaud her for that, because you know, you have to, this is my breast, this is my private part. These are my buttocks, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I watched that video so many times and I was like, this is what's supposed to happen in schools. I think from a very young age, parents are supposed to teach their children, especially because the world is turning so ugly and messy.
Yeah.
Parents are supposed to teach their children from young, not as vivid as the teacher described it and saying, but to tell your child that no one's going to wash you. They know only mama and papa can do that.
Mm-hmm.
No one else.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you see how your child is developing, and when you feel it's the right time, then you sit with your child and you try to explain the bees and the honey and the flowers and all those things, and going on, it comes back to communication.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping that will help your child to understand like what's really going on.
Exactly. And I think if we did speak, you spoke about communication now, and I also just want to emphasize, and I had earlier mentioned it, that, you know, I think we have to really, try our very best to ensure that communication is, laid out flat for us to really make the kids accessible, make ourselves accessible to our kids to be able to communicate to us. Imagine your child goes through something really bad and they can't confide in you because they are scared of what you're going to say. You know, they're scared. Mommy's gonna beat me. Mommy's gonna. While we are there, when I was a teenager, there was this particular girl that we went to school with. She was actually a friend of my cousin, and then she went to Walvis Bay, and we were schooling in Windhoek, and then we read her in the newspaper. She committed suicide. She took her father's gun and shot herself.
Sure.
You know why? Because she found out that she was pregnant, and the father threatened her and said, if you fall pregnant, I'm going to kill you.
Sure.
Hence why she took matters into her own hands to say, you know what, let me do it before my father does. You understand? And imagine this child was scared of the father, the dad killing her. I don't think she necessarily committed suicide because she wants to, but because she's scared her father is going to kill him. You understand?
Because of the fear.
Yeah. So the type of words we say to our kids also make them, it's kind of like blocks and close the door for them to actually open up to us and say, you know what, mommy, I'm going through this. For instance, I mean, nobody wants their child to fall pregnant at the age of 16, 17, 18, 20. But then, God forbid, when it does happen, let this child be able to come to you and say, mommy, this happened, you know? And I think at that point, it's not a matter of now. Of course, you will ask questions. Who's the father? When did this happen? And all that kind of stuff. But it's not now, not the time to shout and scold and what and that kind of stuff, because it won't change anything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's those, our characters, our behaviors as parents, that then cause this young little child to go and do abortion on the black market. Which is unsafe for them, yeah.
Yes. if I can just add on that, is sometimes we don't, a sentence or a word can, it can, for you it can mean nothing. And for me it can mean the entire world.
Yeah.
For instance, if we both have cars and we both drive into the same tree on different times, I get out of the car and I start crying. And I start, like, how am I going to fix this car? How am I going to get a new one? What's my father going to say? Yeah. And then you bump into the tree and you're like, okay, no, insurance will pay for it. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
So
it's, and sometimes even if there's no insurance, you call your parent, but you know the first thing that when you do call your mom or your dad to tell them that I bumped into a car, the first thing they'll ask, are you okay?
Yes.
And then they come and check the car. How did you get out of this? Thank God you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Cars are replaceable.
Yes.
Opposed to the other person.
That's going to go
what crazy. Were you thinking? How did you drive? Were you not concentrating? Cars are expensive. It's going to cost us a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And we really don't have money. Yeah.
So it's all about different perspectives from the new point of view.
Mm.
And I think everyone should just be considerate about... So I know you are very excited and and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So then I will get to your level for a certain time.
Yeah.
And then later on I will talk to you and tell you, my battery is drained. I cannot anymore. Can we just be quiet for like a little bit?
Yeah.
So it comes again back to communication and knowing the person you are talking to and so on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very important. Now let's get right into forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You shared a beautiful story, beginning of our conversation about forgiveness and how you, I know we're talking about parents, but obviously siblings are also incorporated, how you then went on to your brother and actually said sorry. And I think with forgiveness, incorporate also between parent and child.
Well, as much as I love communicating and love talking about feelings and all these things, I am stubborn. I am like quiet. I am quietly stubborn.
Uh-huh.
And especially when it comes to my family, they know I am stubborn.
Yeah.
And so, I left it for like 2 days and I'm like, oh, must I really? But he already forgave me. And then one day we were walking and it was supposed to be like a 3 minute walk and eventually it was like a 30 minute walk. And then we're like, okay, no, but then maybe I should talk to him. And I'm like, Sean. There's something we need to talk about. And he looked at me and he's like, what?
Yeah.
And so that's how it started. But to put my pride aside and actually talk about what was happening and so on, it made such a big difference. And I think the one thing I appreciate so much from him is that he didn't take 2 minutes, 4 minutes to, or even a week to say, I forgive you. He just looked at me and he's like, thank you. I forgive you for that.
Mm.
And I'm a crier.
Yeah.
So I was just crying. Oh my goodness. I was crying. I'm like, what do you mean? You forgive me?
Yeah.
I don't forgive myself. Aww. And so only recently, or not recently, in the past 2-3 months, I had to sit back and think about what happened and so on. And then I had to forgive myself for what happened and say that I was young and I did not know better, but I know better now. So I will work to getting there.
Yeah.
So as much as communication is is big, forgiveness is also.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yes. You have a point. Wow. Sure. Yeah, you know what? And was it Friday? It's Friday that I was listening to this message by this lady. And she was talking about, of course, forgiveness is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to pray about it 20,000 times or 20,000 times, you know, and just say, I need to forgive who, help me forgive who for this and this and that, you know, eventually your heart kind of like lets. And I think for some people, you know, we would say, I've forgiven them, but you don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
It has to get to that point where what they did to you kind of like doesn't matter anymore or doesn't hurt anymore, or you are able to talk to them without remembering or even it playing a role anymore than that. I think that's when you really realize that, hold on, I've really forgiven this person. And of course, not just between siblings, but also parents as well. Parents and children.
Definitely. You
know? Yeah. And sometimes you spoke about swallowing your pride in that angle, in that aspect. But sometimes for parents, do you know that we tell our kids, say sorry to the next child at school if you bump into them or you hit them and you push them? Maybe that's not what you intended, but then they hit their knee and they got some bruises. Learn to say sorry. But how often do parents actually say sorry to their kids?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. When and how?
Yeah.
In this week, I saw a mom with her son, and the son's like 4 or 5 years old. He might be younger, I'm not sure, but he was very talkative. So he wanted a chocolate and his mom didn't hear. And then everything was paid and everything was done, and then he's like, but my chocolate, you said, like, before they came in, apparently the mother said, but you can get a chocolate, and she completely forgot.
Oh.
And so she didn't even think twice. She just said, I'm so sorry that I forgot your chocolate.
Oh.
And it touched me so deep to think that it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
It's really not that difficult.
Yeah.
And so he got his chocolate, but he wasn't allowed to eat it, only after supper, but still.
Yeah, you know. It requires us parents to also swallow our pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you do something and then it's not what you intended, or you did it and then you later realize, okay, but this is wrong. You know, even for instance, when you have more than one child and you put the blame on this one. But you're the one that was in the room who broke this. No, it wasn't me. You feel like they're probably just denying it. Mm-hmm. And then after you have already scolded him for being the one who did it. And then you later see your other son come in and say, I was actually the one that did it. At that point, then you have to say, I'm sorry. Because it's monkey see, monkey do. Mm-hmm. Kids are literally monkey see, monkey do. They do what they see. You know, you have to lead by example so that tomorrow they can be able to effectively say, you know what, I'm sorry, and own up to their mistakes. But when you yourself are not owning up, then you're not leading by example.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, walk us through parent-child forgiveness.
That's a very big one. again, out of my own life, I had to forgive my parents for everything.
Yeah.
In order to get a good relationship.
Mm.
And it didn't happen everything at once. It was like piece by piece by piece by piece. And it was so slow. It's been like 10 years and I still forgive them.
Yeah.
Like last week, I something new popped up and I'm like, oops. I haven't forgiven you guys for this yet, so.
You told them?
Yeah.
Wow. I you know what? I love the relationship you have with your parents. And it's only now that I'm realizing, you know, when on the outside we admire things,
mm-hmm.
but we never see the work that goes behind it. You know, I think somebody who would see you with your mom and your dad and perhaps with your brother as well, you know, would be like, wow, they have such a beautiful relationship. But what they don't know is that a lot of work went into that.
Oh my goodness. A lot, actually.
Yeah. Okay, but continue with what you're actually telling them. Okay.
Yeah. So, it's basically the same as like, God had this, you are supposed to have this relationship and this kind of peace with, you need to have peace with God,
yeah.
peace with yourself, and peace with others. So others are your parents or your child,
mm-hmm.
depending on which one you are.
Yeah.
And you can't finish the triangle if you aren't at peace with that. And to make peace, you need forgiveness.
Yeah, true.
So even if it's just your child that wrote on your wall or your father that didn't want to give you a $20 for today's lunch break or something.
Yeah.
I think it's the little things that add up and you need to forgive the little things in order to get there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Forgiveness goes two ways.
Mm-hmm.
Parents have to play their part and children have to play their part. Now let's switch over to children.
Oh, my favorite.
As you're talking about parent-child relationship and the importance of it, Evita, would you say it only depends, a good relationship depends on the parents putting in effort, or, you know, so it's a two-way street?
It becomes a two-way street, but in the beginning, it's all the parent because this child knows nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is the love they had in the tummy and the father talking and all that. So in the beginning, it's completely 110% the parents that need to put in effort.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see the little gestures they do, like, when they're toddlers or so on, they will give you hugs. They will give you kisses.
Yeah.
And they will say, I love you. And that's their way of communicating and showing that. And so going further, it will be, Mommy, I made this at school for you, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then later on, it becomes more 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's definitely the parents that put in more the work first.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time goes by, then the kids also get on board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Depending on how good the parents were when they were younger.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Because then otherwise, if, if it wasn't so good, then the process will actually be delayed. Mm. But also, in adulthood, sometimes, the kids will then pick up and say, but you know what? I need to fix a relationship with my parents. Mm. It's not always that the parents themselves will identify it, but the children sometimes are the ones who will actually identify that, hold on, things are actually not fine now.
Yeah.
I need to sort out and work on our relationship. Yeah. But you know what? We have yet another commercial break coming up. So let's pause for that and we'll be back shortly. Now, you can also partake in our conversation right here on 083-288-401. Would also love to hear from you. Perhaps you have some questions or would you love to greet our guest in studio. But as for now, we'll see you after the commercial break.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
I will take a chance to be who I'm meant to be. I won't let fear keep me from trying. It's time for me to make a change, to start living the life I want. I'm gonna reach for the sky, way up high. I'm never giving up. It's up to me. I can't be, make dreams reality. I'm never giving up. I want to be proud of who I'm becoming. It's time for me to make a change, to start living the life I want. I'm gonna reach for the sky, way up high. I'm never giving up. It's up to me.
up to me to see who I can be. Make dreams reality. I'm gonna reach for the sky. We
are back. Still another stretch with us. Okay, don't go anywhere. We'll be keeping you company right here. So now we're talking about a parent-child relationship. I just need to remind us for those who are just tuning in right now. And thank you for being with us. So we've spoken about communication, the importance of communication, and also spoken about forgiveness and how parents also really have to just swallow the blade and say, I'm sorry, you know, for the betterment of this relationship. You know, earlier, I love something that you really said is that you can't plant seeds and not water them and not remove the weed and expect a fruit when after 18 years. It really has, requires the work to be put in it. Now, tell us what are those particular things that your family did deliberately in order to bond and, you know, just come close and, you know, have a really strong relationship? What are those particular things that you guys did together?
The first thing I can think about is we used to go to the beach.
Oh.
So we would, the four of us, we would go, and my father used to dive. Mm-hmm. And he would be busy and we would be on the beach eating watermelon and just like that. I love the ocean. I love sitting next to the ocean, and that's so it's a very core memory that I wouldn't want to forget.
Yeah.
And so it made me, I like people that also like the beach a lot more than any other.
Yeah.
So yeah, but, things we did together was, we hiked a lot. So we do like these hikes with children, a 10-day hike and everything, and it's difficult. It becomes very difficult because we do the Fish River Canyon, and then we also do the No Kloof. And as a family, we did the Fish River Canyon together, and it was so difficult, but it brought us so closer because it showed us like how strong we actually are and how strong. That's the first time I saw how strong my brother actually is, and he's super strong.
Yeah.
And it gave me a new perspective on how strong our family is, and I would want that going into my own family one day.
Yeah.
As well as we were so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know how to explain it because it was such an incredible opportunity and adventure.
Yeah.
And then other things we do together is we are very active. Now we are kind of active. So we go for walks and we talk, or I love cooking. And my mom loves cooking.
Yeah.
So we bond over that.
Ah,
and we,
interesting.
we are very much the same person, but also not the same person. We fight a lot. We quarrel a lot. And then she would put salt and I'd be like, no, don't put any more. And so it's that type of thing.
You know, the other time when both is when it's only two people involved, because it was the three of you. When you, your mom and your dad were attending, the lay counseling course at Bible Society, I was so impressed. I was like, what? You know when your mom actually said, this is my daughter? I thought she was joking.
Yeah, no, I look completely like my father.
Yeah, so things like that, like, that is so out of the ordinary, like, being in class with your mom and your dad, and for obviously a short course.
It's actually, we've been doing everything together for the past 10 years. Like, the longest we've gone, apart from this year, is like a month, maybe a month and a half that one of us weren't together. We are completely scattered and it's so unusual. So we're still busy getting used to it and everything. But I think I would prefer to do things together again.
Yeah, man. Yes. Imagine. You create such a bond and
oh my goodness,
And for children, from the children's aspect or from the children's angle, what would you say maybe, how should children perhaps initiate some of those type of activities in their own families? Maybe a particular child really likes, adventures or likes to go on holiday and their family is not the type that really does that. How would you tell them to kind of like, make effective communication with their parents to really get them on board?
I've noticed that children love speaking. They love talking a lot. And so, they can make a presentation and then present it to their family and be like, okay, I know you guys do not like walking or you guys do not like going to the swimming pool or something, but if I do this, and I do this and I make my bed for the whole week, can we please go walk Saturday morning, or can we please do that specific something? And then obviously the parents, who's gonna complain if the child makes their own bed every morning?
I thought the making the bed challenge was only in my house.
Oh no. My brother won't hear it now. But till last year, it was such a struggle. I believe he's better now. Definitely believe he's better at making his bed now. But and it would give me gray hairs, like stressing over a bed not made.
And I'm also like that. Like, I can't leave my bed without being made. And sometimes now, it's only now that the kids are around that sometimes I come back and I'm like, I didn't make my bed. Or I come back, I made my bed, and then some people were on it and they messed it up. And I'm just like, like today, my son was, the middle born was on my bed. Like, and I was asking him, and I'm like, what are you doing on my bed? Like, what are you, what are you doing on my bed? Like, what is it that you, I mean, I just made my bed. I can't understand. Can you please just get off my bed? Please don't. I don't know if it really makes sense.
It completely does.
Yeah. And I have to remind him to make his bed. Sometimes he makes his own bed. But there are those times when they don't. And, yesterday I found the kids clean the yard. Imagine. Hence why I decided to take them to the park. But I forgot to tell them why. You know, because you want to kind of encourage them to keep on doing it. I forgot to say, okay, we're going to the park because, you know, you guys did this. And I just feel like, even if it's really not the reasons,
the little things matter.
Yeah. You know, it sort of encourages them. Like you spoke earlier, like you get a stocky if you behave well, you get ice cream, you know. Yeah. I should have really told them. And I think I will go home and you guys, you know what? I took you to the park today because you guys made me really happy by cleaning the yard. I don't need to go and look for it and pay somebody to actually do that, you know? So yeah, it's things like that, but really I think we shouldn't overlook. We should really, speak about them and just address them to our children and say, you know what? That's what you did. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. What about grades? You know, how do you think a child would want to be treated? Two different kids I'll give you now. One who did really good in school. How do you think perhaps maybe they would want their parents to react to their report card? And then two, one who did really bad, like got E's and maybe one U there and G's and stuff.
I think it also depends on if the child really tried.
Mm-hmm.
So if both of them really tried their hardest and their best, the child that did not, unfortunately not pass, you will encourage them and you won't yell at them.
Mm-hmm.
You will encourage them and keep positive words. And then you will try and, because now you know the child has difficulty with certain things.
Yeah.
So you as parent will also try to,
play your part.
Yes, play your part and get maybe a tutor or sit with your child and do things. And then with the child that passed very well, you congratulate them and you get them maybe a gift, something they wanted, or to show them well done for your hard work.
Yeah. What about, you know what, one thing we didn't speak about is sibling rivalry.
Ooh.
You know, sometimes sibling rivalry can be caused by parents because one particular parent would prefer one child over the other. And they'll make it very, very obvious, you know? And hence, then the other child becomes very... It starts to feel like, but if it was who, then they will get certain, and maybe they had done something that like I did, they would then get certain preferences, or they will get, you know, some sort of different treatment. What do you think?
I do not know what to say to that, because it's such a difficult thing and very sensitive.
Mm.
Because it's not only one party that's getting hurt, it's mother and father and then siblings individually as well, and then the whole family.
Yeah.
So in order for that to get better, you need to sit with the whole family, one by one, with each other and then the whole family as well. And then talk to them and find out what is triggering this. Like why, how did it start and why is it still continuing? And do you still want it to continue?
Mm.
And if not, then all of us sit and we've tried to figure out how are we going to move forward.
Yeah. Hear a point. It's something that I never really actually experienced with my mom. Although there was a time, now that I actually remember, I've always felt like my mom loves all of us, even it now. But there was one particular time when it was my birthday, and my birthday is in November, and my mom didn't buy me a pack of sweets.
Mm.
And for my sister, her birthday came in 30th December, and my mom bought for her sweets, and I felt like, and it's my sister was distributing to us, giving sweets to us, because my mom gave her sweets to give to us. And I think that time my mom really wasn't working. But I remember and I reflected, but when it was my birthday, my mom didn't give me sweets to, you know, to distribute. And I think we really need to find balance, you know, sometimes, and explain if maybe you didn't have the money. You know, it's just like, for instance, if one child's birthday is in January and perhaps you, for that particular birthday, you had money and you bought a cake, and then the other child's birthday is in June, and now you didn't buy anything because you guys are really struggling now financially. You need to have to save every penny. You need every penny that you can get. I think it's at that point then you don't just ignore, you know, because the child will actually remember.
The child will remember.
It's at that point where you really have to open up and say, you know what, mommy can't buy you a cake now because of A, B, C, and D, you know. But being at this age, I honestly, up to today, Evita, I can't tell you, and we have three I have two siblings, so we are three. My mom's kids are three. And so, I can't tell you, I'm the firstborn whom my mom loves more. You get, because she gives attention to all of us. She, you know, and I feel like she deals with us differently according to how each person is, you know. If my mom is with me, then it's in my world we do things differently. And if it's with my sister, like that. So yeah. And I think that's very, very important to notice the children, even in their adulthood, because otherwise you will encourage rivalry. Because one child will feel like, but my mom loves, Sam more than me, you know, and even in their adulthood, they grow up to think that maybe their parents will choose someone or whoever their partner would choose someone over them or stuff like that. Yeah.
And then what's intended to be a loving home turns into the complete opposite.
Yeah. Something chaotic rather. Yeah. But picking up from our conversation, I begin to realize that your family is a firm believer in communication.
We're getting there. Like every time we feel like, okay, no, we're now at a good point. I mean, it's just, no, you still have a far way to go. So then we continue going.
I think it's like that. Work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all relationships, like these, things are evolving.
Yes.
And we are heading into different, you know, like it's a journey and you just never know what you will bump on the way. So it's learning certain things and such. I think some challenges also come our way that you didn't anticipate, and it's how those challenges come and how we navigate them. You know, there was a particular situation. I went through a really tough time in my life that, but it was an experience that my mom had also experienced. So then that brought us really close. We really bonded.
Mm.
And before I gave my life to Christ, my relationship with my mom was just really, you know, not just there, really hardly there. Like I said in the beginning, with my aunt and stuff. But now, Evita, like, you know, my mom and I are so close. Like, you know, there's sometimes when I can really just call it. It has come to that point where I'm going through something so hard, and I'll call her for counseling.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm,
I'll really reach out to her and ask her advice. And I'll take her advice. You know? And yeah. And I just love that. And there was also some points where my mom would speak to my uncles. Like if I need advice from her, she'll involve my uncles. And I'm not close to my uncles. Those are her brothers, you know? And then whatever I'd asked her now advice for will now go viral, and it just messed up everything. And one day I really just told my mom, you know, you like confiding in your siblings, and those are your siblings, you know. They're not my siblings. Of course they are my uncles and I love them, and I think those are the boundaries that we need to set. But sometimes the next person won't know what you're not comfortable with if you don't tell them.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
If you don't set your boundaries and make them known.
Yeah. But overall, now as we are coming to a close of our... Wait, did I ever open... Yeah, I did. I did tell them they could call in, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I just didn't repeat it, but I did.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm selfish. Yeah. Overall, Evita, when we're talking about parent-child relationship, if you, sort of like a summary of everything, from your part, what are those nuggets that you will want us to work away with, you know?
It would be that we all have different experiences and different ways of growing up, and to make it unique. Like, as a parent, you do not need to be perfect.
Mm.
There's no, the world has expectations, but you as a parent are not, like, you will find your rhythm and you will do everything. You know?
You'll have your shortcomings.
And to forgive yourself if there was a mistake and you realized and you've apologized for it. And then having a, like, constant communication again.
Yeah.
And love in the house.
Oh.
I would if that's all, it would be those ones.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We didn't emphasize on love, ne?
We had a little bit of it in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My daughter is the one person, and affection is the one person that wants to give hugs and is very appreciative of things I do for them. Like the other time I bought her, I got her 3 dresses and she said, "Mommy, I'm so grateful. I won't stop hugging you." Like, and I think that's the one. And even today when I took them to the park, she said, "Mommy, you're the best mom ever." She's very afraid.
So she's also vocal about it.
If I buy them pizza, she's like,
she's so cute.
You know what? I have a friend of mine who's also a parent of 2 girls. She only has girls. And I was telling her that, you know, sometimes, and I'm just being honest, sometimes I get so overwhelmed. I don't want to use the word annoyed, but you know, with the hugs and the everything.
Oh.
And sometimes, and I think sometimes I'm not very kind. I'll be like, "Oh, you know," like, but then I realize I also have to just be like, "Okay," because my friend told me, she said, "Okay, I think it's enough now," you know, but I need to really incorporate that, you know, go slowly and say, "Okay, I think the hugs are kind of enough."
Yeah,
now.
But maybe also beforehand, just tell her, "Listen."
Yeah.
Mommy does not like hugs so much.
Yeah, ne? No, I do sometimes, but I'm just... sometimes they're just too much.
No, I understand.
Yeah. But I think it's a girl thing. And what I was told is that enjoy those hugs because the time is coming.
It's true. It's very true.
When they're not interested in them, especially when they're in the teenager, you know. Mm. And who knows, especially for a girl, the teeth are developing and it's painful and they probably just don't want...
Just leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. And you're just like, but you used to love hugs. Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore. Newsflash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, ne? Yeah, so really, it is really a lot of work. And that needs to go into it and be put into it when it comes to parenting and child relationship. But yeah, we have, so many, platforms or places where we can really educate ourselves. There's always more knowledge that you can acquire in certain things and do things better. And it's a work in progress. It's a journey, of course. So yeah, I think we should really, if we want to perfect something, or actually strive, you know, to being good at something, we have to put in the work and educate ourselves. That's just my thing.
Yes, yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I would really just read up on something and then you start to actually incorporate it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I can do things like this. And then you even realize it works. But you know, it looks so simple. Why didn't I know this long time ago?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, just your final remarks, maybe your goodbyes to the people as now we're about to close up.
It was very lovely being here and being able to talk about my passion and what I love doing.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Sure.
And to the listeners also, thank you for listening. Yes.
It's been a pleasure having you, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Your calmness. This is just rubbing off me.
Oh, is it a good thing?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Okay. Everything is good and it's everything has its time and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a particular listener who just prefers some sort of calmness or just needs that sort of calmness, you know. So yeah. But yeah, we have come to the conclusion of our episode on life lessons today. I hope you have learned one or two things like I have. And I just wish that we go out there and build families that are strong and that are firmly grounded on strong moral standards. And yeah. But otherwise, I hope that you keep yourself warm and that you keep yourself well this beautiful Saturday. Now make sure that you tune in again next Saturday on Life Lessons from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours as we bring you yet another interesting topic that we can learn from. Now, I am leaving you here, and you can stay tuned for yet other shows that are coming your way. And make sure that you always listen and tune in to Eagle FM. Goodbye. Have yourself a wonderful evening.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
You wanna say
Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one folk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store.
Ignore you, walking towards you. With my head down, looking at the ground, I'm embarrassed for you. Paranoia, what did I do wrong? It's time, that's balance for you. Very loyal, should I have my back? Would you put a knife in my hands for? What else should I carry for you? I care for you, but
I hurt right now. I wish that I could say I'm proud. I'm sorry that I let you down. Let you down. All these voices in my head.
Every time I sit on that couch, I feel like you lecture me. Eventually, I bet that we could have made this work and probably would have figured things out. But I guess I'm a letdown, but it's cool, I checked out. Oh, you wanna be friends now? Okay, let's put my fake face on and pretend now. Sit around and talk about the good times. It didn't even happen. I mean, why are you laughing? Must have missed that joke. Let me see if I can find a reaction. No, but at least you're happy. Feels like we're on the air. Oh,